Amen and amen. How many of us would testify that God is always faithful? Amen. Amen. He has proved himself time and again. If you have a copy of God's word, I invite you to turn to James. If you've been with us, you know that's where we're going. The contrast of two kinds of wisdom. Confession. I have found James to be incredibly convicting and encouraging. So James chapter 3, we just have heard about and studied about how dangerous our tongue is. And we talked about how we are all prone to stumble in many ways. And with that, we are going to see, even in another direction, the importance of being obedient to Christ in our personal relationships. So James chapter 3, verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? I love the question he poses. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The word of the Lord, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Christ. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I think of the Apostle Paul. Lord, we don't come with superiority of speech or of wisdom. And God, we determined this morning to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Lord, I'm mindful of my weakness. Lord, like Paul, I'm weak and in fear and much trembling. Lord, and my message and my preaching, Lord, are not in persuasive words and wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, Lord, so that our faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but God, on your power. So God, we are so thankful for your word. We thank you that James has challenged us, convicted us. Lord, our tongue, how many of us have started big fires. And Lord, we see even in our passage this morning that there's two paths of wisdom, and we want to walk in the right one. So God, I pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart to be pleasing in your sight. I pray you would launch your word powerfully into our hearts and minds. We'll be more like Christ, Lord, that we'll be bold witnesses. Our witness will be credible, Lord. And we pray today you'd build up your church, she'd be healthy and holy, and you could use her for your purposes and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our passage hits you with these, it doesn't say contrast of two kinds of wisdom, but that's what's going on there. And it's one of the themes of the letter. Turn back to James 1, and you'll remember there in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom. So he opens a letter talking about wisdom. And look, if we lack wisdom, ask. Any of you lacks wisdom? Let him ask of God, James 1, 5, who gives to all generously without reproach and will be given to him. So it's one of the themes in wisdom. We would say last week, wisdom in our speech, and this week, wisdom in our relationship. And it's a theme of our passage today. Look at James 3, 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Demonstrate that. Look at the end of verse 13, right? By his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. Drop down to verse 15. This wisdom, earthly wisdom, look, phony wisdom. Phony wisdom is not, verse 15, that which comes down from above. More to be said about that. But there, look, there is a wisdom we want to pursue for those that are in Christ. There's wisdom from God, verse 17, but the wisdom from above. So these two paths of wisdom. And I like this definition we looked at several weeks ago. The ability to see all, wisdom is the ability to see all life as serving the purposes of the Lord. What a perspective. The wise person will be able to see life as James has pictured it, the ability to make personal decisions and shape life's pathway so as to enjoy the progress towards maturity which God has promised. Listen to this. Wisdom is a gift from God. It's knowledge applied. It's practical. I like what Adrian Rogers said about it. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view. The ability to see life from God's point of view. And so there's two paths, two kinds of wisdom that we'll see. And I want you to see the context is in our relationships. And so I want you to think about phony versus real. So I have you say, what to make of it. He has two watches. You're like, is he that having that much difficulty staying on time? But one of these I want to tell you about. This was a gift to me. It's a Rolex Submariner. And I gave it to my son. Some of you are impressed with that a Rolex Submariner. But let me tell you about this Rolex Submariner. You know what's unique about it? A Rolex Submariner retails for about $10,000. However, this, it feels like a Rolex Submariner. It looks like a Rolex Submariner. But guess what it is? I can pick you one up for less than $10,000. I think it was bought in Istanbul by a friend of mine who then gifted it to me. And so I'm proud owner of a Rolex Submariner that cost about $150. I don't wear it. Like I said, I've given it to Luke. He doesn't wear it. Yeah, isn't that cool? I passed it down to my son. It's like an heirloom. This, y'all, and see, I'm going to leave it up here when I go greet, and some of you might just want to pick it up, but don't. But it is, that watch is a phony. It's a phony. It's a counterfeit. And listen what James is saying. James is saying in our passage this morning that there's two kinds of wisdom. There's two kinds of wisdom, and one of those is a phony. It's demonic. And then, by the way, he's not going to say, hey, church, do you pick demonic wisdom or Christ-honoring wisdom? Which one do you vote? No, he's going to say, listen, are you sinfully envious and personally ambitious? And if that's so, measure what's in our heart. And then that tells us which camp, which kind of wisdom we really have. You know, you've got the beautiful $10,000 Rolex Submariner, iconic watch. Or do you have the phony? And listen, what James is so helpful, because he's going to paint this beautiful, beautiful portrait of these two paths of wisdom. So we're going to look at it from just in the flow of the text and the contrast of two kinds of wisdom. Look what he does, first of all, in verse 13. Number one, the wisdom test. The wisdom test. He gives us a test. And by the way, he poses a question. Who among you is wise and understanding? Now that sound, you're like, hey, let me ask you something, everybody, brothers and sisters. Who is wise and understanding? Well, that just prompts us to look inward. But look what he says next, the wisdom test. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Let him demonstrate by his conduct, his good conduct, his deeds. So listen to what he says. Not one's words. Not one's words. But staying true to James, one's works. Works. W-O-R-K-S. One's works. Not words. Who among you is wise and understanding? If we have real wisdom, demonstrate it. Well, how do you demonstrate it? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds. So this demonstration, and listen to this phrase, in the gentleness of wisdom. And that word, some of your translations have it, instead of the gentleness of wisdom, in the humility. Now, I love what I uncovered about that word in my study, is that it's a word that used in the world is always negative. Gentleness of wisdom, humility, and meek. And the world, so again, you're going to see these two ways to live that we talk about that the Christian life always challenges us with. So in the gentleness of wisdom, and by the way, humility or being teachable. If someone comes up, am I quick to receive instruction and correction? He said, if you really are wise, show it. Demonstrate it. How? By your good behavior, your deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. I like what Matthew Henry said about this. The quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. Being very unimpressed with our own self-importance, right? So true wisdom, James says, listen, he presses in on us. True wisdom is, first of all, manifested in humility. In humility. Who among you is wise and understanding? Show it. How do you do that? Now, I told you it's relationships and in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. So here's how we're to live in the body of Christ. We're to be humble. We're to demonstrate by our deeds, our good behavior and the gentleness of wisdom. And so it's, listen to this, it's the fruit of our lives. Not how much, listen to how we might answer the question, who among you is wise and understanding? Well, I'm going to tell you what, that brother over there has got sound theology. It's not what he said. Who's wise and understanding? I'll tell you what, he's well read. She knows the word. No, no, no. Do you see where he goes? You really know Jesus? Be humble, be teachable, be easy to get along with. So wisdom, he's saying on the wisdom test, who among you is wise and understanding? Under this, show it by his good behavior. Wisdom is manifested in our relationships, as James is showing how essential it is to the unity of the fellowship of the church that we walk in wisdom. So he gives us a general principle, and then it's really, really simple what he does in the remaining 14 through 18. He says, hey, here's phony wisdom. That's going to be verses 14 down to 16, and he's going to tell us about genuine wisdom. So, number one, the wisdom test. Number two, the signs and symptoms of false wisdom. The signs and symptoms of false wisdom. Look at verse 14. Ah, so convicting. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, here's a diagnostic question. The doctor's like, you know, you go see the doctor. He goes, hey, have you been having any difficulty with this or difficulty with that or pain? So James goes right to it. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart. How many of you, I hope it's a good song. You know, we built this city on rock and roll, right? Isn't that a song? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That somehow got in my head this week. And you know what we built our culture in America on? We built this city. Let me tell you what we did. Look at verse 14. It's in my head now. Some of y'all are like, built this city on rock. Verse 14. We built this culture in America on bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. That's what the world we live in is built on. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Ah, look at what he says. He's so, every word matters. Look at verse 14. But if you have, you said, David, but you know, verse 13, you said you're wise and understanding. Well, let's see if you really are. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, look where? In your heart. Might not be visible to anyone. Might be down, way pressed down below the surface. Nobody can see this bitter jealousy. And so bitter jealousy, a better definition or a simpler way to say that is, listen, sinful envy. Sinful envy. Blomberg said this kind of envy seeks the best for oneself. Tell me that's not the American culture. This kind of envy seeks the best for oneself, regardless of what might be good for another person. Always wishing for others to have less than oneself, whether with possessions or opportunities. So this bitter jealousy, this sinful envy. I like what Alec Motyer said about this. The word by itself is normally okay. Listen to this. The word translated envy, so verse 14. If you have this bitter jealousy or envy, selfish ambition. So if you just take away the descriptor, right? If it's not sinful. So that word really means no more than strong feelings. It does not of itself contain the thought of a hostile envy of other people's gifts or affections, which our word envy or jealousy implies. Plainly, when allied to the adjective bitter, it must have a bad meaning. I like what he says here. There are those who are quick on the draw, more than ready to fight for their rights, easily prepared to feel that they might in some way be threatened by others. It is more this sharpness of spirit in personal relationships, this over-concern for one's own position, one's own dignity, one's own rights, or whatever that James had in mind. What happens when we're just completely overlooked, ignored, neglected. There, he says there's a sharpness of self-interest that easily leads into the formation of parties and cliques, which is the inner force of the word translated, he goes on, a selfish ambition, an inclination to use unworthy, and this is a key word, divisive means for promoting one's own interest. If we stress the word divisive, then we see the meaning exactly. It's divisive. And so the signs and symptoms of false wisdom, verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. So selfish ambition, an adjective, it defines what's this selfish ambition, what's wrong with this ambition. So I'm not talking about, so don't go out here, I know we're getting ready to go back to school, and say like, you know, I didn't study and I made a 60 on the test because I don't want to be selfishly ambitious. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about in the body. So like, I'm talking about excel, work hard, but I'm talking about in the body of Christ and in general with our relationship with others. And in particular, in terms of how God has apportioned gifts, possessions, positions, relationships. You know, so listen, God has graciously, sovereignly given me, he's given me the wife that I need, praise the Lord. He's given me the daughter and son. Now, son-in-law, he's called me to be a pastor, and he's given me the wonderful privilege of being the pastor here at Lagos. So God hadn't called me to have any other interest in any other wife. I'm going to be content in that wife. So God hadn't called me to pastor or have interest in, I mean, I'm interested in all the churches. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going, church over there. No. So as God's apportioned, and then by the way, on the gifts God's given me. And by the way, we sometimes say, hey, God's sovereign over everything he's given us. And he's also sovereign and good over everything he's not given us, hasn't he? And so look, bitter jealousy, sinful envy, selfish ambition, how we view God, how we view ourselves, and how we view others. And James is talking about, listen, the churches, the Christians. And by the way, you're not going to convince me this is a hypothetical. Like James is just like, you know, where am I at? You know, I picture the scribe, right? He's like, you got 3 chapters and about 12 verses. James is like, that's too short for a letter. Let me think what I could. No. God, the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing James' words. James is addressing what are real issues in the churches. And you know what will kill a church? Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. It's deadly. So these signs and symptoms, and I love this, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, and then he says, in your heart. Verse 14, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Here's why. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Don't go around saying you love Jesus and you're a follower of Jesus if that's who you really are in your heart. You're lying. You don't believe the Bible. You're not a Christ follower. You're not. It's incredibly convicting. If you have this, bitter jealousy. I like that better. Sinful envy. So a desire for something sinful, like I want what he has. Why does she have that? Oh, isn't his gift amazing? And then underneath we're seething going, I can't stand him. I don't have that gift. Oh, now, oh, bless you, brother. In your heart. Look what he says next. Do not be arrogant and so lie against truth is a serious charge. And so look where he goes next. Now he starts unpacking it. Its nature, its origin, its effects. So look at verse 15. This wisdom. I love that. You got, look at verse 15. This wisdom. Phony wisdom. Remember? Phony wisdom. It looks like it's, you can just get one for, you know, $9,800 less than the real thing. This wisdom. Drop down to verse 17. The wisdom. 2 wisdoms. Which kind of wisdom do we have? Phony wisdom. Worldly wisdom, verse 15, that we're talking about. What are the signs and symptoms? Look at verse 15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. Oh, I love what he says there. Turn back to James 1, 17. James 1, 17. Every good thing we have is a gift from Almighty God. James 1, 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down, from the Father of lights. Back to James 3, 15. This wisdom, false wisdom, phony wisdom, worldly wisdom, demonic wisdom, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's earthly, natural, demonic. So I want you to think about its nature. What is the nature of it? Its nature, listen, earthly. Well, what does earthly mean? Well, earthly as opposed to heavenly. That's how the devil, the world, that unholy trinity, the world, our flesh, the devil, that's how the world operates. So when you want to swim with the unholy trinity of the world and our flesh and the devil, just swim in bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Listen, there'll be a big crowd going with you on that. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's earthly. It's natural. It's earthly. It's natural, not supernatural. Right? It's natural. It's fleshly, sinful. It's strong language. It's earthly, natural. Look where he goes next. It's demonic. Now, that's a strong word, isn't it? It's demonic. Only use of that particular word in the New Testament. And listen, that which proceeds not from God, but from the demons. When I am happy face, church, man, hey, this morning we've been hitting a curveball. Air conditioner's not working. I'm just like, God, you know what you're doing. We are messed up. Sound system doing whatever. Air conditioners and all. It's like, Lord, we need you. Let me tell you, I don't want to be satisfied with that which is earthly. I want that which is heavenly. And I don't want to know about that which is natural. I want that which we get in Christ, which is supernatural. And I don't want to have anything to do with that which is demonic. I want that which is from God. And so its nature is earthly as opposed to heavenly. Look at this. Its origin is demonic. Now drop down to verse 16. What are the effects? What are the effects if we just say, you know what? Hey, we're going to ignore James. And by the way, James is definitely following in his older brother's footsteps in what he's saying. What did Jesus say about this? Blessed are the what? The peacemakers. The meek. But look at verse 16. What are the effects? What do you think before, look at verse 14 before we go to verse 16. What do you think would be the effects of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in members in the church heart when you live that out together? What kind of church do you think that would make for? Pass. Right? Don't want any part of that. Look at verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, man, he comes right back to it. He said in verse 14, bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, here's what you will find. Disorder and every evil thing. Right, you talk about what we want to flee from. So it is both divisive and it is destructive. Divisive and destructive. So think of that word. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder. Disorder. Confusion. And by the way, he paints a picture. And disorder and every evil thing. So it's toxic. It's incredibly deadly and destructive. And James, I believe, is writing to correct these members who are being divisive and destructive. And listen to what they do. They bring disorder and disunity and destruction and every evil thing into Christ's church. You know why a lot of people have given up on the church? Because oftentimes the church has been marked by this kind of fruit. Now, by the way, you check with your mom and daddy if I started to say the stu word, that's ignorant to give up on the church. Okay? And if there is a problem in any church, it rests not with King Jesus. It rests with those in the church. But let me tell you, you will not find a more relevant passage for us to be studying as followers of Jesus. Because the natural way for us to walk is going to be, we've just made, you know, we built this city on bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. We will instruct people, look, if you want to get ahead, you really need to walk in. We would find a better way to say it, wouldn't it? Now, son, I want you to be bitterly jealous. That's probably not how we would say it, but that's if you got underneath it. And it is epidemic. And the effects, they're deadly. Where you find that? Jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder, and every evil thing. What a word. Listen, this destroys and divides churches. So the signs and symptoms of false wisdom, phony wisdom. Third, the fruit and blessings of true biblical wisdom. So I told you there's two kind of wisdoms running in the passage. And I love what he does. It's beautiful. Verse 13. Hey, are you wise and understanding? And then, you know, we might want to bring an answer. And then he presses in. He says, well, first of all, let me give you the principle in the verse 13. Show it. Why do you show it? Living sweetly in the body of Christ, being really, really humble. And then he gives the warning of phony wisdom, 14 through 16. If you've got bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. By the way, here's an application. We'll just apply as we go. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart? Don't go any further. Like, deal with that. God, show me. Do I have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in my heart? He's out for our good. We need to recognize when we're doing that. It's like, that can't be that bad. No, no, no. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's earthly, natural, demonic. By the way, is it okay for me to do X, Y? Well, just want you to know, that's demonic. That's pretty what? That's strong language, isn't it? And look, that which is in their heart. Now, think about what he told us about our tongue. Remember he talked about in James 3, the end of verse 5, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, and how little it is and how dangerous it is. And so here's what I want you to see. When we talked about, I keep thinking about it. We talked about, like, you know, my daddy teaching me to shoot the shotgun when I was a little boy. And, man, you take pains with that because shotguns are what? Dangerous. Our tongue is dangerous. And then James said, I don't know, we have on a good Sunday 250, 270, whatever, people here, praise the Lord. And James said, you could be walking around this morning with this sinful jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart and just be tearing down and dividing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's dangerous, isn't it? It's almost like, you know, when you go through, I like what Ernest Holling said that time. He said every time you go through TSA, it's like you feel like you've been handled like a prize steer, you know. It's pretty bad. Don't you just hate TSA? Maybe hate TSA. But if at the door, wouldn't it be good if we could have some, like, screens like, hey, man, go through and see if this cat's got any, if this sister's got any bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Oh, she got something. Put that in. You can't bring that in. No, we come walking up in our Sunday school class, gather in the foyer with brothers, sisters, and selfish, sinful, selfish ambition, bitter jealousy, right there in our heart, tearing down Christ's body, bride, each other. James is like cutting in, saying, look, open that heart. Do that heart work. God, do that heart work on us. So what are the fruit and blessings of true wisdom? And I put brackets there, biblical wisdom. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, I love this. But the wisdom from above, the wisdom you want, The wisdom, listen, from above. So let me tell you the first thing about it. It is a gift. You can't find it within yourself. The wisdom, look at it. I love this, from above. I love the play on words there. From above. Go back to verse 15. Look at verse 15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. You got, listen, you got wisdom from below and wisdom from above. And so the wisdom we want to be about, true wisdom, isn't this glory to God. It originates with God. It is given by God. It will manifest itself in those who have been born again. And by the way, let me just go and tell you where I'm going in the application. Go to James 1:5. If you want it, do what? Ask. How cool is that? And so therefore, if we lack it, and by the way, I love that. This keeps us God-dependent, doesn't it? This wisdom, true wisdom, the wisdom, verse 17, from above, that's beautiful. From above, it originates with God. That's its origin. And by the way, James 1:17, it goes in the bucket of God's gifts. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Now, by the way, let me just go ahead and tell you, I also think we will all struggle against episodic bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Right? Sometimes just like, what? Most of the time, let me just tell you my default, if you like. I got to work against, and I do work against. If you say, hey, there's a line, it's going to form over the left. Guess where I want to be in that line? I'm sorry, first. But I'll intentionally work on that. But what wells up in me? To be what? We want to be first. And so I like to use, you ever see when you're like first, second grade, you see those little girls up first in line with their elbows out. It means you ain't coming by. It's like, I'm first, and you're going to take an elbow to the eye before you come by me. Right? It's like, no. That's what Jesus is freeing us from. He's working in us to see it's not about me. It's about Him. It's about you. Man, isn't that beautiful? Now, by the way, you know, like, hey, Church A over here. Church A over here is going to be marked by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Whoa, pass. What about this Church B? The wisdom from above. Listen, here's what it produces. Pure is first pure. He puts that one by itself. It's pure. Seven descriptors. Beautiful. It's first pure. Unmixed. Nothing else in it. It's just pure. Now, by the way, how freeing does that sound? It's the wisdom from above. Lord, give us that, we pray. It's pure. And then look at how relational. I told you it's got to do with relationships. You can walk with pseudo wisdom, but if really what's in one's heart is bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, guess what you will find? You will find disorder and every evil thing. But man, we want that wisdom which is from God. The wisdom from above is first pure. And listen to this. Peaceable. So its origin is not that which comes down from above. It's from God. It's nature. I love this. It's nature. And by the way, this is not, so it's primarily, he's writing to churches. So primarily how we would work this out in our heart in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I would say, then it applies in all other relationships. You know, your marriage, your home, your family, the people you work with. How many of you, have you ever been around, man, when I worked in the corporate world, there's like a million things about the corporate world that I just love in my career there. Thankful for, praise God. And in there, I remember I was in this program, it was a leadership development program, and they moved 18 of us. There was 18 in the program. And they moved us from like all parts of the country into New Jersey for a 3-year program. And a developmental program. And then they would put us in these different situations. And we were all like leadership development program. You know what? The admission ticket for the leadership development program. How do you think 18 guys in the leadership development program that are all vying for positions of leadership on the back end of this, how do you think we related to each other? You'd have a vice president come in. I remember Pam Harris came in and was like, we're going to quit paying for y'all cell phones. One of the guys over, I think that's a good thing. I was like, that's not, you know what I'm talking, everybody's looking out for what? You ever been in one of those meetings? And you'd go to these assessment centers and you could just feel that, listen, the competition. Man, I want to tell you, that right there, and by the way, if I own the corporation, I want to have healthy competition for the best to be in the position you ought to be in. I get that. But I want to tell you something. Competition should not be a mark of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Competition should not be a mark of the bride of Christ. And the portrait he paints is like, take me there. I mean, it's like the brochure, you know, click on this, like, that's the vacation I want to go on. Here's the church I want to be part of. The wisdom from above is first pure, not mixed with anything selfish, sinful, dirty. And it's from God. Look, it's then peaceable. Peaceable. Look next, gentle. Gentle. So just beautiful, beautiful descriptors. And by the way, look where it goes next. You are reasonable. Let's go back to peaceable for a minute. Does not mean we won't have conflict. Okay, because you go apply this at home, like, okay, me and Stephanie can just never have a disagreement. We'll be like, well, 20 seconds later, that's not what that means. Peaceable does not mean we won't have conflict. It means we will navigate it biblically and faithfully. Yeah, we're going to disagree. And by the way, wouldn't life be boring if we always just agreed on if we all agreed on everything? Yeah, I just think what she thinks. I think, no, we don't. So, but peaceable, it has to have how we love Jesus and relate to each other. Now, by the way, listen to this next one. This one's reasonable. So the opposite of selfish ambition, reasonable. Okay, when they get your order wrong or my order wrong, when we got overlooked, don't look at me, Stephanie. Quit looking at me. So y'all look at each other. No, when somebody just like, oh, when you're in the right lane merge. You know, I'm over there, lane merge in 1 mile. I've merged. And these idiots, they're in that left lane. And they're like flooring it. And I just want to like, I'm not very reasonable. No, any of y'all, reasonable. So in the body of Christ, like we bump up against each other and it's like, it's sort of like, I don't mean it's bad, it's like, so like sin, we like throw up on each other a little bit. Throw up a little bit. Oh, it's okay. Let me, right? Reasonable. Do you see the tone that he's painting? And by the way, it's got to happen where? In our heart, because that selfish ambition and sinful jealousy is in the heart. And so we got Jesus fix our hearts. Jesus fix our hearts. Transform our hearts. Help me to see you rightly. And by the way, Lord, help me to see how difficult and sinful I am from your perspective. And Jesus, how you're poured out your mercy on me. How reasonable you are with me. So help me to be that kind of reasonable with these people that you have blessed to put in my life. These brothers and sisters. This is profound, these seven descriptors. Like, Lord, grow us to be first pure. Grow us to be peaceable. Grow us to be gentle. Reasonable. Listen, full of mercy. God is merciful. He has shown us mercy. Those who have received mercy. Who should be the first people to give mercy? People that have received mercy. You got any mercy? Oh, man, we got just mercy galore in King Jesus. I love that. Full of mercy. You go back and contrast that. That bitter jealousy just seething in the heart, selfish ambition. Look, man, you just bump into her and you just get mercy. How did she handle that slight? Well, she's reasonable. She's sweet. She didn't like go to argue her position. He didn't try to like, but no. Just beautiful. Full of mercy. Look, good fruits. And fruits, not something we do, it's something done in us. But look, steadfast, unwavering, that's a good word, isn't it? Oh, and by the way, I love this next one, without hypocrisy. Not two-faced, not wearing a mask, not trying to be two different people, not one thing in practice and another in private. I remember, Mr. Leroy telling me one time, Medford, he's in heaven. We've got a bunch of Logos members in heaven. I remember him telling me about a gentleman. One time he said, David, this particular gentleman, he said, he's not who you think he is. He's one way when you're in the room. He's a totally different man about you when you're not in the room. I've thought about that all week, that without hypocrisy, he could see that. We can see that in each other. Here's how I want to be. I want to be without hypocrisy. I want to be cheering for following King Jesus if I'm here. And if you meet me on the other side of the country tomorrow, I'll be cheering for following King Jesus. Listen, and cheering for and pulling for my brothers and sisters. And by the way, you know, the opposite of that, Lord, do that in us, right? Opposite of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition is, yeah, Lord, if we're really living this right, we'd rather see him have the win or her have the win, because isn't selfish ambition and bitter jealousy, I want the win? And we can be so transformed by Jesus that we want Jesus and others to have the win. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now look at verse 18. It's quitting time. What are the results of it? You'd be like, well, hey, I'm sold. Well, look at what the results. Verse 18. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now look, there's three thoughts, applications running there. The seed whose fruit is righteousness. So this is not something we do, but it's something that's done what? In us. And so it's results. False wisdom. Go back to verse 16. Phony wisdom. Disorder. Every evil thing. True wisdom. Christ wisdom. Biblical wisdom. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace. And by the way, look, this even, I love the end of verse 18. It pushes us another step from just working on our heart to getting to work to be peacemakers. I'm telling you, James was listening to his brother, wasn't he? Remember his older brother? It was late in life when the light came on, but when it came on, so it's like, well, okay, we would almost say I've got four applications. I'm going to give them to you in just a minute. Here'd be two more. It'd be like, well, the big takeaway here is, man, I need to do some serious heart. God, would you do some serious heart searching to see if this is in me? See which kind of wisdom I have. Do I have the phony or do I have the real? And then, though, we don't stop there. Then to go out and say, you know what, in this body, we're going to sort of be Barney Fifes in a good, holy, edifying way to be peacemakers. Do you see? Those two brothers are not at peace. Well, let me tell you, I want to go over there and I want to help them. Not, you know what? y'all got a prayer request. Those two brothers, let me just tell you what this is about, but I'm just sharing my prayer request. You been in some of those? Bring it. He's a sorry, low down, good for, right? And that's gossip. That's not peacemaking, right? No, peacemaking is going there and saying, hey, man, I know you love Jesus, and I know you love Jesus, and I know you love Logos, and man, like, what's going on here? And because listen, I want us to walk in sweet peace with one. I love that, end of that. James, there's no wasted letters in the Bible, no wasted words. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we're to look constantly, work on our heart, examine our heart to see if that's in us, and pursue true wisdom, but then also to get to work in being peacemakers. And that Logos would be a body marked by verse 17 and 18 to say, hey, the wisdom here, and our boast is in King Jesus, but it's from God, it's pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable and full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, it's not wearing a mask. And by the way, when we get up against each other, and we get over there and we're being sinfully bitter, the sinful jealousy and selfish ambition, then we're going to be real quick to just like intervene. Man, y'all, you can't. I think I appreciate it now. My dad would always say, you know, I grew up, I have three wonderful sisters that I'm so thankful for. But he would say, and I think this applies in the church, he would be like, if I was having a disagreement, and if I was having one with Pam, it's my fault. Pam's back there. I take ownership of that. And that's true, I'm sure. But if me or June or Mary or Pam were at odds, Daddy'd be like, you can't do anything with your friends because if you can't get along with each other, y'all not doing anything with your friends. I think he was getting that from the Bible. By the way, I was like, I like my friends, just right now my sisters I'm not so crazy about. I think that's just like, I don't know that. No, this family. If I really, really love Jesus, I'll be a peacemaker in this family. I'll be reasonable in this family. I'll keep on decreasing in this family. I'll keep on celebrating others' gifts who maybe I don't have in this family. I'll keep on decreasing. So King Jesus will keep increasing so the family will be more healthy. And you want to kill this family? Pursue jealousy and selfish ambition. And you don't. But we will answer that at 30,000 feet. How many of y'all want to have a healthy church? Amen. All God's people said amen. Okay, how many of us are harboring in our heart bitter jealousy and selfish ambition? Well, let me tell you, you're pulling us down, or I'm pulling us down every day you walk in that. You're damaging and destroying and chipping away at the bride of Christ. So, Lord, make us peacemakers. Let's just quitting time. Doing the word. And we said all this, let's just put a period at the end of the sentence. Humbly look into our hearts and see if bitter jealousy and selfish ambition reside there. And by the way, if so, repent, confess, agree, turn, throw ourselves on Jesus. His grace is sufficient. So humbly look into our heart and see if bitter jealousy and selfish ambition reside there. One more quick story. I think about that. I remember I was a brand new pastor, and I remember, man, I wasn't even I'm not looking for trouble today. I wasn't looking for trouble that day. I was fresh out of seminary. You know, you could take all I know and put in a thimble. And I remember this lady came to see me, and she was mad. I had just been a couple weeks as a new pastor. Hadn't changed anything. Hadn't done anything. She was like, I want you to know so-and-so sang my song. There'd been a special music. And by the way, that's where I wish I had, I turned back. I thought this was Newton's song that he gave to the church or whatever, I mean, she was hot. She sang my song. We had a long conversation. And by the way, I wish I'd just said, really? Repent, sister. Get out of my office. That's what you need to be told. Listen, you don't own the song. I don't either. Right? But that mindset, that was exactly what James is talking about. She sang my song. By the way, probably sang it better than her. It's probably why you're in my office. By the way, if she does, so here's what I hope, by the way. As a pastor, you know what I hope? God gives me opportunity to interact with a whole bunch of people he calls to pastor that out-pastor anything I've ever pastored. And you know what I want to be doing all along the way? Sitting over there being an old dude going, amen. Better than y'all do sometime. Just saying. Yeah, I'll amen them. But like that's exactly humbly looking toward. So that right there, I was like, man, I went home. I was all in a knot. Let me tell you, I needed to be thinking biblically. If you're in my office and you're going, I'm mad because she sang my song, your problem is not me or the sister or the song. Your problem is you. And you're killing the church. Go home and stop it. That's how we need it. That would be a peacemaker. I don't even remember what I said. I can just remember like, I hope it was biblical and good. Humbly look into our heart and see if bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, right? And like lay it before the Lord. He's not going to throw you away, throw me away, and like work on it. Lord, I am jealous and I am selfishly ambitious. And Lord, God, I hate that. Change that in me. Second, see the close connection between our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how we treat others. I love what James does. James doesn't say, he's smart. A good salesman, we talk about an assumptive close. Hey, do you want 10 packs of samples or 20? Now, what am I assuming in that? You want some of my samples. James doesn't say, hey, does everybody love Jesus? Because everybody would say what? Man, I love Jesus. Everybody in the Bible Belt, most everybody, you're like really flying against the current if you don't say you love Jesus. No, James doesn't say if you love Jesus, do you love Jesus? James says, hey, let's just talk about wisdom. Are you jealous and selfishly ambitious? Are you? He's like, I don't know, James, maybe. Yeah, but I love Jesus now. James said, actually, you're not loving Jesus. And so see this close connection. If you have, verse 14, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, well, you know what? You're lying. You're arrogant. You don't really believe what you say you believe, because that wisdom is not heavenly wisdom. It's earthly, natural, demonic wisdom. So see this close connection. James does it over and over with our speech, with our human relationships. Third, remember that wisdom is ours for the asking. And that needs to be on our prayer list. Lord, would you give me wisdom? Abounding measure of wisdom. Wisdom. Turn to James 1. I want to show you. Where does it say that? James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously, generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But look, believe God. Trust him. Don't doubt. He must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea. God can't make me. No. Put that off. Driven and tossed by the wind. That man ought not to expect he will receive anything from the Lord. Look, I want you to see how beautiful it is, being a double-minded man. Look at James 1, 8, and then go back to the end of James 3, 17. Unwavering without hypocrisy. The same kind of picture, wearing a mask. You're two-faced. You say one thing, but in your heart, God just sees right through that and blows that up. Fourth, pray that logos, and by the way, I pray that we are, and I pray that we will be, and I pray that we will be a growing, pray that logos will be a body where true wisdom abounds. I mean, we think like the world so much. People are like, hey, and this is good. Like, do we want people to come to logos? Like, yes, yes, yes. And then we'll start thinking like facilities, programs. Quit thinking facilities and programs. I want to tell you, a church that I want to be part of is one that makes much of Jesus, that takes God's word serious, and by the way, that walks in James 1:17 as it relates to personal relationships in the family. The wisdom from above, it's pure. A whole bunch of people that love Jesus and love me, and I love them, and we walk in purity, and then we live peaceably, and then we're gentle with each other. We're reasonable. Like, hey, man, I was wrong when I X, Y, Z, and you're like, dude, man, I forgive you. Absolutely, I love you. You're my brother. Right, just full of mercy, full of good fruits. But look, I love that, unwavering. Now, we're not going to call evil good and good evil. We're not going to bend on the truth, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Well, what's the other charge? I'm pretty much done. I got one more sentence. What's the other charge against the world? I mean, the world has against the church. Bunch of what at the church? Bunch of hypocrites. I know how he is. He's not like you think he is up there when you're at church with him. He's not the same man. James had something to say about that, didn't he? And by the way, free. We're about to sing Complete in Thee, aren't we, Stephen? Yea, justified. By the way, here's what James is saying. You want to see the body healthier, and you want to see your relationship with Jesus and others sweeter, pursue this path. And then, by the way, look where he's going next week. He says, mark this, because we think like, yeah, can I be a little bit over there in that world with that selfish ambition and sinful jealousy? And here's what he said. You need to decide. You're either going to be God's friend or the world's friend, but you can't be both. But James just keeps cutting us, doesn't he? Right where we live. Yea, justified. And what the thought that I have there is just this passage, the freedom that we have in Christ. Listen, the freedom that we have in Christ to be right with him and to be right with each other. Isn't that beautiful? That you're just like accepted, valued, loved, affirmed. And by the way, so it's like whatever gift God's given you, praise the Lord. We need you here. Use your gift. Well, but I didn't get this. That, it doesn't even matter. Look, God's given you a gift. We'll help you figure it out. Just make much of Jesus and make much of each other. And then my last word is true saving faith. This is the mark that I want to finish with, and I'll pray. True saving faith transforms how we relate to each other. If we've really met Jesus, how we're going to relate to each other is going to be different. That's another point that James is making. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the word you have challenged us with today. God, phony wisdom. Selfish, sinful jealousy and selfish ambition, Lord, marks of the world, marks of our culture, and demonic. What a word. What a truth. Lord, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the gifts that you give. We thank you that Christ came down to save us, to rescue us, to deliver us. Set us on a path, Lord, of life. And thank you, God, that you haven't left us as orphans. We thank you for the work of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, we want to pursue wisdom. God, we pray you'd give us wisdom. You told us to ask. Grow us to be wise. And Lord, we'll even want to define that in a worldly way. We think we'll be all knowledgeable. We can straighten somebody out and tell them how much we know. And James shows us being wise is being humble, being peaceable, being pure, being reasonable, easy to get along with, not competitive, not grasping for the limelight or the stage or the recognition or the award, without hypocrisy. Lord, what a high bar you have set for us in today's passage. And we thank you that all of the commands in Christ, Lord, are doable. Lord, we have everything we need for life and godliness. And so, Lord, transform us. Transform me. Transform us individually. Do a work in our heart. Do a work in our church. Lord, your church, the blood-bought bride of Christ. Lord, help this to be a place that is marked by wisdom from above. Lord, to be humble even about that. Lord, everything we have received from you. And so, God, we are even take pride if we're not careful. And so, God, we ask you to do a powerful, sustaining, transforming work in our lives and in the life of your church. God, for your glory, for our good, for the health of our church, the advance of the mission, Lord, we want to be zealous, faithful witnesses of Christ, that people would look at us and see Jesus and see that we really believe, we really know him, we really believe what it is that we say that we believe. So we ask you to work, and we praise you for this time of worship you have granted us as a family today. In Jesus' name, amen.